Our lesson today comes from Romans 7, verses 15 through 25. Hear God's word. I know that all God's commands are spiritual, but I'm not. Isn't this also your experience? Yes, I'm full of myself. After all, I've spent a long time in sin's prison. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. But I need something more. For if I know the law but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me, and it gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. From the moment I decide to do good, sin is up there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel. And just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. May God give us understanding, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Anthony Evans tells a story about a man named Sam. Sam is a forester. He cuts down trees for a living. And when you see him chopping down those trees, you'll hear him say over and over, "Oh, Adam. Oh, Adam." And every time he chops a tree, "Oh, Adam." Well, one day the foreman came by and he asked him, "Now, how come every time that you hit the tree you say, 'Oh, Adam'?" And Sam said, "Because Adam, my forefather, sinned against God, and God cursed him and said that he would have to work from that time on." Yeah. So every time I hit this axe against that tree, it reminds me, if Adam hadn't sinned, I wouldn't have to work. Well, interesting thing. One day his supervisor came by and he said, "Come here, Sam." And he took him into this just plush, palatial, 10,000 square foot mansion, this beautiful place. And he said, "Sam, it's all yours. You can live in it and you can do whatever you want. You've got a swimming pool, you've got a tennis court, you've got servants, everything. Everything in this house is yours, and I'm giving it to you because I don't want you to struggle with this Adam mentality. But I ask only one thing. Do not lift up the box on the dining room table. Enjoy everything else in the house. Be what you want to be. Do your own thing. Enjoy every bit. But do not touch the box." And Sam said, "Hey, no problem. I can handle that." So Sam lived the good life. He played tennis every day. He swam in the pool. He had these wonderful meals every day. He was living large and enjoying every single bit of it. But as time went by, he kept looking at the box. He was so curious, but he kept saying, no, not going to touch it. Not going to jeopardize my future here. Well, after about a year, he had done about everything a wealthy person like that could be doing and enjoying. However, that box was like a magnet. It was still there, and he was so curious about it. So finally, one day, he said, I'm just going to lift it just a little bit, okay? Just a little bit, just to kind of peek. Lift it a little bit, and there's this little mouse scooted out and scooted around, and he couldn't catch him, and he was trying, and he couldn't catch him. And the next thing he knows, the foreman is there. He says, Sam, I told you not to touch the box, and you touched it anyway. Sorry, but you're out of there. You're back to cutting wood, buddy. And so Sam was back out in the forest. But there was one difference this time. As he was swinging that axe, he was saying, Oh, Sam! Yeah. We got this temptation thing going on, folks. Anybody else besides me? Anybody? We try so hard, don't we? And right now, I'm sitting here, I'm looking at the table back there with those cookies and those brownies. And yeah, I'm tempted, and I know already I'm going to be giving in to temptation when it comes fellowship time. I know that. I might as well be honest with you. There are so many things. Now, some of you, I want to just side note here. Isn't it interesting how we can be tempted by different things? So there's some of you who are here today who are not big chocolate fans or cookie fans. And so you're sitting there, chocolate, cookies, no big deal. What's the big deal? Why would somebody be tempted by that? Have you noticed that? And that's one of our challenges, because we can get really focused and distract ourselves from our own challenges and temptations by looking around and trying to find, well, look at that person over there giving in to their temptations. Well, I could care less about that. I don't need that. What's so tempting about that, right? Because we're all tempted by different things. Each of us is strung differently. And so it's easy for us to focus our sight on what other people are doing and not doing, so we can forget about the ways that we are giving in to our temptations. Temptation is a reality of life. And part of it is that we have all kinds of things out there that are feeding into our temptations, that make money by getting us tempted, that succeed in all kinds of levels, and we're sent a message that we're to be all these things. It's not just the brownies and the cookies, but it's what we aspire to be and do in our lives that also can lead us down the wrong track. And it gets so complicated. Now, Paul, the author of this, who's writing this to the Romans, he knew that full well. He bought in to the structure of his environment, of his community. And he was an incredible success. He did it well. I mean, and who would think that being successful would be possibly giving into temptation? I mean, he was a wonderful scholar. He was a respected Pharisee. He was very well thought of. And he loved that. But at the same time, There was a big hole in him that he couldn't fill. No matter how successful he was, no matter how much he had, no matter what he did, that hole haunted him. And it wasn't until he was thrown down and he had to face himself and he lost everything that he knew who Jesus was. And suddenly the desires in his heart changed drastically. Everything was different. Now, did he still struggle with temptation? You betcha. But he was able to be honest about it, and as he was speaking to them, he knew that they were struggling with it too. And he wanted to give them hope and encouragement. Just as we pray our prayer of confession each week, it's with the understanding that we are works in progress. We're going to be giving in to some of those temptations from time to time, in spite of our best efforts. That's part of our being human. But we have hope. And there are things that can be changed in our lives, and things that we can do differently. There's a story about, a true story, that a superintendent of schools tells. It was graduation time at his junior college, and it was the day before their annual commencement. And this young girl came into his office. She was one of the ones who was going to be graduating, and he recognized her right away. She was an honor student. She was really bright. She was very attractive. Her name was Nancy. And Nancy had two brothers. And that family, they were amazing. They were all bright and skilled and motivated. And Nancy began to tell the superintendent a fascinating story about her life, not what you'd expect. You'd expect that she had two, you know, motivating parents and a good, strong background and everything kind of given to her, but it wasn't that at all. It seems her father was killed when she was just a little kid, and then her mother, who worked at a factory to kind of support the family, died unexpectedly as well. So there she is with her two brothers and wondering what's going to happen. And her Uncle Ben, the only family member left, was an alcoholic. So one night, while Nancy and Jim and Tommy, the two brothers, they were sitting around, and Uncle Ben came to the house, and they're saying, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" And he said, "I love you kids, and I'll go down to court and get you assigned to me. I'll get down on my knees every night and ask God to help me raise you right." And he did, Nancy said. He hasn't had a drink since. He hasn't missed a day of work since. And Jim graduated from medical school. Tommy's graduating from MIT this spring. And I'm going to teacher's college. And tomorrow night will be 6 commencements that Uncle Ben has attended. 6. And she said, "There's only one problem. He won't sit in the parents section because he feels that that would somehow be disrespectful to mom. But I'd love it," she said, if he could be recognized in some way for all he's done for us." And the superintendent said, "It's going to happen." And it did. And Uncle Ben received this huge ovation of appreciation. And when he came forward, there were many in that graduating class who knew his story. And they celebrated that moment with him. Later on, the superintendent was talking to Uncle Ben and he asked him, he says, "Well, when you went down to court that day, what'd you say? I mean, you didn't have a very good case, as I understand it." And Uncle Ben said, "Oh yeah, you're right. And I was scared to death. And when the judge asked me why I thought the children should come and live with me, I said, the master told me a man can be born again. He can change. He can change completely. And he can stay changed. And I believe the master meant any man, even a drunken ne'er-do-well like me. And I believe that when the master said, 'Whosoever will,' I believe he included me. As you can imagine, the judge thought about it for a long time, looking him over. And finally he said, I believe that deal includes you too. I'm going to let you take the kids for 30 days. We'll come check. If everything's going on all right, you can keep them permanently. The three kids and I got home, said Uncle Ben, and we got down on our knees, and I promised God that if he'd hold on to me, I would hold on to the kids. And we've been going along together all these years ever since. Sometimes it takes something really important for us to seriously realize changes need to be made in our lives. And sometimes they can be little things, and sometimes they can be big things. But God cares about every single one of us, and he's wanting to help us find our way. But here's one of our dilemmas. Most of us, we lead very busy lives. And so we can be so caught up in the busyness of it that we are not even aware of the ways that we're giving into things that are not consistent with who we want to be and who God wants us to be. We can just be going at it, and even as good people. I mean, there's a story about a pastor named Carter Jones, and he was a pastor. He had a ministry in a small town, and he had a space up in his attic where he would go up and pray. It's just a quiet, serene little spot. And when he was especially burdened and feeling down, he would make his way up that winding staircase to that room just to spend some quiet moments with God. The members of his family all knew that when he went up into that room, they weren't supposed to bother him. Well, one day he climbed those stairs and he knelt beside a chair to pray. And he'd hardly even started that prayer when the door swung open, and there stood his little daughter. And the moment that his eyes met hers, she knew that she had done wrong. And she said, Daddy, you've been so busy lately. I haven't seen you much, and I just wanted to tell you that I love you. And with that, she threw her arms around his neck, and she gave him this big hug, and then she wheeled around, and she was gone as quickly as she had come. That was a wake-up moment for Carter Jones. He realized he was not really living up to who he was supposed to be. And so as he continued in his prayer, he said, Father, I've been so busy lately that I haven't had much time for you. I just want to tell you again that I love you. It starts there. Knowing how much you're loved. Loving God in return, and staying focused and centered. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. Our good intentions are going to fail from time to time. But God never gives up on us, and we can't give up on ourselves either. We need to just keep trying. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are tempted in so many ways, and we know that we are so far from being perfect, that at times it can be very, very discouraging. At times we can think, why bother? But you remind us we belong to you, and we have a purpose here that's so much bigger than ourselves. Help us to be those people you created us to be. And help us to beat those temptations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.